this church has supported missions from the beginning. Back in 1970, when we first gathered as a group and became an Assemblies of God church, and people have gone out from this church. You know, Arlene has gone out as a missionary, and others have come to this church and entered the ministry of various phases of ministry. And we've always been mission-minded. And we've been favored, you may not know this, to have a veteran missionary who's been attending here now for a number of months, and with her daughter and husband, their family, Sister Marguerite Hurley. Now, I don't know a lot about her story, except that I know that she's been a veteran missionary. Come on this way, Sister Hurley. In Honduras for many years, and she and her husband pastored, I believe, in Texas for a number of years, quite a few years there, too. So this is a servant of the Lord that has many years' experience working for the Lord, and we are really privileged to have her here. And I just asked her, she's ministered in Honduras, I believe, to come and just share with us this morning. Would you, let's give her a warm welcome, Trinity. Would you do that? God bless you. Amen. You just turn it back to me, okay? Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, it's a privilege to be here. I've been initiated to snow. But we sent some to Dallas last week. They had, I think, 4 to 6 inches, so they got a little privilege to see snow, but we still have a bunch over at our place. But it has been a real experience being here. And my husband and I were started out a long time ago, and we went, the mission field was rather primitive, but I see that it was for them also. My husband helped build the Bible school there in San Pedro Sula in Honduras, and a group came down, and the steel wasn't for them, but our plans, they had no measurements on it. And the group said, we can't stay here. There's nothing we can do. But my husband was one of those that could connive and fix. He said, you can't leave. We'll do it like this. And so they started the Bible school. And those men, they were so homesick, they didn't know what to do. You don't realize when you leave a country with all that we have and then go into a foreign country, it's very different. But I remember how that he was up on the roof of the Bible school after they'd gone so far. And these men were, they were just so homesick. And my husband had a little bit of a mischievous in him. And he was sitting up there on that roof, and they were working, and he began to sing an old war song. There was an old war song that said, each day I take a walk down that lonesome trail. Each day the postman tells me there's no letter in the mail. The last I heard from Mama, she said she was okay. But now she's getting mighty old and gray. And he began to sing this and that, you know, country twang like a Texan can. And they were about to cry. But in that moment, the Lord spoke to my husband, and he said, you will go home too when you build a home for the children. And so as we, I just like to bring the scripture says over in the 20th chapter of John, Jesus on that, it was the evening after the resurrection, and he said to his disciples, he came among them and he said, peace be unto you. But he didn't stop there. He said to them, he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. And then he said that his Father had sent him, and so he was sending them. And I just want to tell you, God works through men. God works through individuals. We may not always realize that we're his hands and we're his feet. While we worked there in Honduras, we stayed in the mission home at first. Now I work with the youth. But then we began, my husband had a heart for children, and so our district bought an orphanage. And I stayed with the orphanage. My husband went out in the interior and preached throughout the on muleback for 9 hours sometimes, back in the middle of nowhere, preaching the gospel. But he also did some building along with that. We built a new orphanage. And you talk about the cement, we might tell you about it. He had to go down to the river to get the sand. He had to get the other things. It was so primitive. The only helper he had never had a hammer in his hand. But God sent help, and we built an orphanage there and it was drawn up in the States. You know, these draftsmen up here, they don't understand what you don't have down there. And we'd had a big hexagon in the middle and six wings off of it. And I found my husband one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. He was gone, and I went down to see where he was, and there he sat on the roof. And he said, "I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to fix this roof." We didn't have the materials that you have here in the States, but God helped us. And the thing I'd like to bring to you this morning, God has sent you. You, wherever you are, you're sent. And God has a ministry for everyone. And, the young people say, "Well, where are these miracles and all you talk about? Where are these things that God does? We don't see them." But you see, God is still the same. He said in James, he said, "God the Father is the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." He said also about Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I like to say that God works through men. One of the favorite scriptures of a pastor sometime is, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over." We could stop there, but it says that men would give into your bosom. Men. He uses men. At the orphanage, I worked in the, while Brother Ken was out in the interior, I worked in the church there. And some Mennonites would come by every once in a while, but God can hold up ships. God can speak the word and make it happen. And you need to believe that God can still do anything. I remember that day the Mennonite man came by. He had come by and check on us at the orphanage. And he came and he said, "Sister Hurley," he said, could you use some chicken?" And I said, usually I'm very conservative. I said, if you sure we could use, but I said, "My name's Jimmy. I'll take all you give me." Because I told him then how I'd prayed. I'd prayed about the children. I said, "Lord, I want to give these children a balanced meal." I said, "Lord, I need meat. I just need meat for them." And I said, "And Lord, if you don't mind, would you make it chicken?" Well, he comes by and asks me, "Could you use some chicken?" But there's a story behind this chicken. There was a war between Honduras and Salvador, the country right above it, over a football game. And this ship was held up on the other side of the country, and they would not let it pass. And so they rerouted it to the other side, and this man was in charge of that side of the country. And he said, I said, "Yes, sir, I'd appreciate it." He gave me 300 cans of 3-pound deboned chicken. And it lasted. Those children got chicken and dumplings. Those children got chicken patties. Those children got chicken this and chicken that. But God, in the middle, I did say, "Lord, I wish I'd have said half beef." But God did that. But he used a man. He used somebody. But there's times when God works and he does it himself. He can speak the word. He said in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was light. He doesn't need human instrumentality, but he's chosen to use men. I'm just going to tell you this little incident to show you that God can work without man's hands. When we were in Costa Rica, we went first to Costa Rica to study the language. And God gave us opportunities to minister, even though sometimes we slaughtered the Spanish language. But he gave us opportunities there. But one of the couples out of the language school said, "Would you like to rent our apartment, we're going on to our country. And so we thought, it's better. It was in a duplex, and it was a little more convenient, so we rented it. And I didn't know, and my husband didn't know, but it was infested with fleas. And every time, you had to run down a few steps to answer the door, and every time I'd go down, oh, those fleas would get on me. And I said, they love my fair skin. And it was so difficult. And I'd pray of a night, and I'd pray during the day. But you know, at night I couldn't get out on my knees on that floor and pray because of fleas. So I got up in the middle of bed and I was praying. I said, Lord, you killed 185,000 men when Sennacherib's army was there and they woke up dead men. I said, Lord, let these fleas wake up dead fleas. The next morning, I didn't have to go to language school that morning. It was, and my daughter and I had two children at that time. And we were sweeping the floor, and we swept up piles of dead fleas. It wasn't by man's hands, but it was because God answered prayer. And so this morning, I think we need to believe and remember that God can do anything. And I think we need to let our children know that. I know that I adopted two Honduranian twins. And I had to stress to all my children, it's not my prayers, it's your prayers. And they had set these twins and they came to the United States. I spoke English to them as a baby. Their father and mother were killed. And I spoke English to them. And then the other spoke Spanish, so they had both languages they could understand. But I brought them back to the States, and they were in school. And you know, it came out in the paper. Jose goes to this class, and he's under this teacher, and this one goes over to this class, and she's going to be under this teacher. And the mayor's son would come by and play with my son, this boy, and he said, oh, I tell you that. Miss Cunda Miller said she's even been known to cuss in class. Said you don't want to be in Miss Cunda Miller's class. And he came in, he said, oh, he said, if I get Miss Cunda Miller's class, I'm going to translate. He didn't have the English language down very well. He was going to translate. He was going to transfer. But sure enough, the paper came out. It had the list. Jody Aguilar is going to be under Miss Cunda Miller. Oh, he was ready. And I said, Jody, I said, God answers prayer. I said, we will pray about it. He said, oh, Mama, pray, Mama, pray. I said, no. I said, you pray and I will pray with you. And he prayed. I went to the school that morning and I went first to get my youngest daughter in her class because they were the youngest. I had two smaller ones then. And I stopped by the class, Miss Ryan's class, to see about Gladys. And I walk in and there sits Jody. I said, Miss Ryan, I thought you were supposed to have Jody instead of Gladys. And, you know, the Lord had fixed that where he went into another class completely. And I said, now, you know, in the West we say that's a bullet, you know, on your belt. You strike something, you did something. I said, that's a mark on your belt to remember that God never fails. And when you pray, you may think that God's forgot all about your prayers. That answer didn't come. God doesn't forget. I was talking to a young preacher in Tennessee. Yeah, he called and I said, I was just trying to encourage him. And I told him, I said, God hadn't forgotten your prayers. It's coming. I had always in all my life, I wanted a china closet. I don't know why, but I wanted a china closet. And it just seemed like when you're on the mission field and you're here and you're there and you're other things, you don't get those things. And every time I'd drive past and I'd see a china closet, and they'd have it sold. And you know, one day I said, Lord, I don't know why I had that desire. I said, don't worry about it, Lord. I don't need a china closet. I can do without it. But you know, God didn't forget. And he said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. My daughter and son-in-law, the oldest one, was pastoring up in LaPorte, Indiana. And they'd gone over to Michigan to some antique stores. And there she saw this china closet. She called. She said, Mother, are you still interested in a china closet? I said, no, it's not important anymore. I said, I really don't need it now. I said, she said, well, how much will you give? Back then, I'd have given a lot more, but I just wasn't really interested. I saw, I can't go over $300. And she dealt with the people. The store had paid $300 for it, and they'd brought it in. She said, well, my mother just won't go above that. They sold it to her for $300, and they delivered it from Michigan over to LaPorte, Indiana, to her place. Then when they went to pastor in the South, they boxed it up and brought it to me. You see, I only tell you that because don't lose your faith in what God can do. Sure, we've got wonderful people that can serve a lot of things. These men that have gone out, this looks, you know, you kind of laugh about it, but it's tough. We had three in different places. They called my husband up to the Capitol to oversee the building of a church that was going to be one of the main churches. And a group came down from the States, and, you know, it looks easy, but when you have to live under primitive circumstances, it's not so primitive. But, you know, God spoke to, and it changes the life of those that go and work out there. It shows them what God can do. And so this morning, I know you've had a lot, and I'm not going to continue, but I just want you to remember this. God uses men, and you can be that man. God uses people, and you can be that person. And you can, the main way that people know about Jesus, the main way they know if it's real is by your testimony. You may feel like, oh, I don't know the Roman road. I don't know all these things. But wherever you go, you can share what God has done for you. I could tell you miracle after miracle God has performed in our lives. My husband and I lived together for 65 years. He passed away almost 2 years ago now. But we were a team. And we worked together, and God answered miraculously, and God allowed us the opportunity to help others. And sometimes he spoke to us. Let me just say this one thing. We went to Costa Rica to study the language. I had studied Spanish in college, so I knew a little bit more than my husband did as far as Spanish. Not going to say the other things, but he would go to church, and he would sit there, and in a foreign country, and he said, I don't know if it does me any good or not. Said, I can't understand a word they're saying. And, you know, and it would come out, S-O-S, that's it, S-O-S, S-O-S-C-K, S-O-S-C-K. And I said, honey, listen. His initials were C.K., Clarence K. Hurley. And so I say, they're sending out an S.O.S. to you. I said, listen, honey. I was joking, just trying to keep him a little bit enthused, you know. But, you know, while he might not have been able to understand the language, he could hear the voice of God. And one day the Lord spoke to him in church, said, give Brother Enrique, who was the pastor, give him 352 limpitas. He turned to me, he said, Marguerite, write out a check for $352. And I handed it to him. And when he went out of the church, he didn't make any to-do about it. He just placed it in Brother Enrique's hand. And it, you know, then you get the backside of the story. Brother Enrique's baby had been burnt real badly, and they had her in the hospital. But because he didn't have the money to get her out, they wouldn't let her take the baby out. And you know, it was exactly what he needed to pay. You see, God wants to talk to you, and he wants to lay on your heart things that you can be used in. I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be so different. I know you that, I don't know how they do here in the private schools, but we had awards ceremony when I raised my younger children and would come back to the States, and they were in a Christian school. But I often think of that award ceremony, how that there's coming a day that will be in the Bema judgment. I know there's going to be a judgment for the unsaved, but there's going to be a reward ceremony for those. All those things that you've done, and you might think, I haven't done a thing. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a common laborer. Those things that we do, and I know Brother Pierre this morning spoke of how his dad was people that he just told them the gospel and never saw them again, worked with them. But that's there. You're sowing seed, and the kingdom of God will grow. Let me just say this. On that 20th chapter of John, in the 21st and 22nd verse, he said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. He didn't stop there. He breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And that is the secret, the power. He said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses, and so forth. You know the rest. But the thing about it is, the power of the Holy Ghost is what has helped us. And my first children, I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I prayed constantly, fill them with the Spirit. Fill them with the Spirit. My oldest daughter received the baptism when she was 5 years old. Most beautiful experience that you could just, it was just glorious. I didn't tell her, I didn't say, you have the Holy Spirit. She came, I had taken some people home from the church, and she came through her arms around me. She said, oh, Mommy, I really got a blessing tonight, didn't I? I said, oh, you did. But it kept her. And when we went to the mission field, and when they didn't know the language, and they had to study, and she was 13 when we went to the mission field, and she had to have algebra in Spanish and all of that, and when you don't know the language. But you know, the Holy Spirit kept them. He kept them, and they're living for God today because that power of the Holy Spirit. And my husband taught them through so many things that God used him through. And how many times he was a blessing to others, and the places he went back in the interior, God, by the Holy Spirit, had him always have a word for those that were there. But you can have an encouraging word through the power of the Spirit, because he knows what others need. This morning, God bless you, and it's a privilege to be here in this great state of New Hampshire. I think you're kind of kin to Texans. Thank you.
I believe we're privileged to have our sister Hurley with us here. And if you haven't gotten to know her personally, why don't you express your appreciation for her many years of ministry. And I'm sure she has a lot of interesting things she could share about her life as a missionary. So we believe in missions here at the church. And we're going to receive a missionary offering. I mentioned that every service, this is to help with our missions expenses. We have people who are flying in and stuff. And this is the way I feel about missions. People say, well, I believe in missions, you know, and opportunity is given to give. And they say, well, I'm going to pray for you. Well, prayer is important. We need the prayer. But, you know, I found that people who really back missions are the people who give, you know. A lot of people say things, well, I'm with you on something. Well, that's fine, you're with me. But when you reach into your pocket and you say, you know, I'm doing this for the Lord because this is right. And so we're going to receive an offering, and just whatever, you know, the Lord lays in your heart, brethren, if you prepare for that. And as they're getting ready to do that, I'm so thankful for Sister Hurley's references to the importance of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of some things, you know. Tonight we're going to have a special video. It's the life of Hudson Taylor, who is it's a great film. It's right at 6:00. You need to get here at 6 because it's going to last most of our time together. We're going to show it in the Bible study room. Donna is our missions coordinator, and we were looking at several things we could show. But if you want to really get a handle on missions and the spirit of missions and how God moved the hearts of some of the early pioneers of the faith, you need to see this movie, Hudson Taylor. He's considered one of the fathers of the missionary movement. And so that's tonight. There'll be a video we're going to show in the Bible study room. I think you'll find it. Now, this is not Hollywood. It's like Don was saying, you know, you're not going to get the special effects. I said, well, if they want special effects, go see Star Wars or something, you know. This is to give you information that will help you understand the importance of ministry, and it'll be entertaining also, and that's tonight at 6:00, but we need to start it pretty, you know. Sometimes I give you, because I know you're kind of on your way and all that, and we have a habit. There's hardly anybody here at 5:45, and then at, like, you know, 5 to 6, and up until about 15 after, there's a rush and people start coming in. Try to get here right on time at 6 tonight so that you can see the whole film. So that's going to be tonight. And one other thing I'm going to just remind you of. There's a series coming up called AD. Now, some of you remember the Bible series that came up. It came out of Hollywood. The producers who did this, Roma Downey and her husband, put that together. And from our national office, they're encouraging us to promote these studies. There are some studies you can plug into. You can even hold a little Bible study in your home. They have helps for this. I'll have more information on it next week. But it's called AD, and it's about the church, the early church. Now, the reason why this is important is they've asked the Assemblies of God to come up with some of the sermon plans or the presentations. So there's about 7 or 8 of the things that they give on their website to promote this are written by Assemblies of God ministers. It's a real honor to do this. I was surprised when I heard that. And so there's going to be some wonderful material. If you're interested in this, you can go on the website and you can look up, you know, ag.org and look into the AD helps. And you can even have a little discussion. You could say to your neighbors, hey, we're going to have a discussion on the program that's coming up. It's going to be on Sunday nights. I think it'll be at a time that won't interfere with our ministries. Our ministries are usually early, around 6:00. But I just bring that to your attention. They're asking us to promote this and use it for evangelism, all right? So now you know about this and know that the Assemblies of God has a little part in this. And I'm thankful for what Sister Hurley said about the Holy Spirit. One of the things that sets the Assemblies of God apart from many other organizations, we're not the only Pentecostal organization, but we're one of them, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And God has blessed our movement throughout the world, and great things are being accomplished throughout the world because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our ministries. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just ask the Lord, Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Don't necessarily pray for tongues, just pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God will take care of it. And before you know it, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you'll sense the presence of God, and you'll be more effective in your witness. And that's really what it's all about when we talk about ministry.